This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there! Happy holidays! I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bailus.
And today, this is a special episode. We're talking about the best and worst of 2017.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yep. And, we're just gonna jump right into it. You want to talk about your favorite game of 2017?
Well, that would have to be, Nintendo's, Breath of the Wild. The newest version of the Zelda series.
Can't really argue with that.
Absolutely stunning, graphically. The gameplay is amazing. It's what open world gaming should be about. You know, it's fun. It's a masterpiece. All the critics, and I mean, yes, I take critics' reviews with a grain of salt, but everybody says this is just the best game they've ever made. And I have to agree. If you're going to buy a console based off of one game, this is the game to do it. If you don't have the Switch, this is a good reason to buy it. Just because the game is that good.
I think that's pretty much what drove a lot of the early sales for the Switch. In fact, I saw some various news early in the year where people were buying copies of Breath of the Wild because they could find those, but they couldn't find Switches. So they bought the game waiting for their Switch to come.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty high praise right there.
It's just, as far as I can tell, it's probably just the... It's not the best rated because I've seen, there are other games that are a little bit better, but I don't know. It's really hard to say that there's anything better than Breath of the Wild for 2017.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, when a game can be considered a phenomenon because it was so popular, that's. Also, It fits well from what I've heard with the Switch, the way the Switch works.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of worked in combination with that, and they both drove each other. Interest in the console drove interest in the game, and vice versa. So, yeah.
And another part of it is you don't even realize, when you're listening to the music, how great it actually is, because you're too busy paying attention to the game.
Wow.
But the music is unquestionably one of the best for any game that I've ever played.
Right on. Anyway, so shall I jump on mine?
Of course.
Okay. This is going to sound weird, especially for people who were listening to the show earlier in the year, in the spring and whatnot. You know what I'm talking about, but for me personally, I'm an MMO guy, and the best game of 2017 is Secret World Legends. And a part of me there's a little piece in my brain that's, you know, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying that. But then the rest of my brain is going, hey, little piece of the brain, shut up. We've played this game for years. I've talked about how awesome the Secret World is. I have pimped that game since before it was launched. I was in the beta. It's that good. Well, the Secret World Legends takes that setting and plops it into an action RPG. Some would call it a CRPG. I'm going to actually say it's a full MMO, even though they don't describe it that way. Because, yes, you can't have more than 10 people in the area where you're questing. So you can have a group of up to 10. But the thing is, you can, if you're running around solo like I do, you'll be running around and there will be other people running around. And it's no different than it was in the Secret World. Oh, except for one thing. They fixed everything. Now, I'm not big for reticle-based combat. I'm not. It works here. I'm not big on action MMOs. But it works here. And they took a lot of the kind of, you know, not really working systems, like the way they did skills and abilities in the Secret World, where it got very grindy very quickly. Especially, like, there are abilities on the outer ring of the Secret World that cost 50 AP. You get 3 AP every time you fill your, do a level, you fill your bar of experience.
Yeah.
That's a lot of levels to get one ability. One. Did I mention that you have two weapons? Each of them have three main groups. So if you want to buy all those abilities just for your two core weapons, not for all the weapons, just for those two, you will have to buy six of those 50-point abilities. And first, you have to build up to them. And each one, the first one in that block costs 9. The next one costs more. The next one it is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of levels.
Just why would anybody do that?
Well, it's fun.
No. 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 Grindy games are never fun.
True. But this is better. They fixed that. They made it so much more easier to do. Now, I'm not completely on board with the way they changed up where the abilities are, but if the layout feels more like Neverwinter, if that makes sense. But yeah. All in all, it just works. I can't say enough about Secret World Legends. And like I said, there's a little piece of my brain screaming and going, no, you've abandoned the Secret World. No. And I haven't. I still enjoy the Secret World. But then I play it and I immediately think, wow, I could be playing Secret World Legends. Same setting, better systems. Can't really argue with it.
Just fix the systems in the Secret World.
No, they said that they considered that, but they would have had to rebuild the game from scratch. So what they did is they built a new game. That sounds
like a personal problem to me.
I'm sorry?
That means they should have done it right to begin with instead of half-assing it.
It's easy to say, but that was 5-6 years ago. You know? At the time, they thought they were building the right way, and, well, it just didn't work, so... Now they have this. And it works. So, yes, a lot of my I'm not discounting a lot of my prior criticisms of the game before it came out. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying the game fucking works and it's really fun. So,
in other words, this is Skarmus with his hat in his hand and a mouthful of crow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Those of you who do dislike me can all just start cheering and everything, because I will say this once. Listen closely. I was wrong. You're welcome.
I should put that on a loop and just play it in the background.
Okay. So, I got that out of my system.
For now.
How about your worst game of 2017? Oh,
that's easy. See, there was this game that me and Rylea played called Double Dragon. It was amazing fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long damn time ago. I mean, we played the hell out of that game. And it's one of those situations where after you've played for a while, your hand hurts so bad from all the button mashing you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then in 2017, with all these retro games coming out, somebody thought, hey, it'd be a great idea. Let's make the next Double Dragon. So they made Double Dragon 4. But usually when you bring a game into, you know, the modern era, you update it. Well, somebody missed a memo on that, because this is literally a game you would have played in 1990, except it's a 2017 game. It's still the same side-scrolling, beat-em-up, same bad graphics, same repetitive combos and awkward lane placement, and, you know, trying to grab somebody and throw them is iffy. So, I mean, yeah, it's nostalgic as hell, but that's it.
Well, here's the problem with that, though. I mean, you know, I'm into retro games heavily.
Right.
But here's the thing. When we're looking for an update to a great retro game, which there have been some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a few weeks back in November, we were talking about, oh, Banjo-Kazooie. Well, we actually meant Crash Bandicoot, because we're morons. Anyway, you know, that would be a good update. I mean, I would prefer they actually change it up and do new levels and whatnot, but whatever. Thing is, they did update the game. Great.
Well, it's a fun game.
And I like playing 8-bit games. I like playing 16-bit games. Those are great. That doesn't mean I want to go out and buy a brand new game that is 8-bit or 16-bit.
Yeah.
There's a Wonder Boy game out. I haven't played it, but I've seen a lot of playthroughs of it, which has that 8-bit sort of look, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it will change to these beautiful graphics. It switches back and forth between an old style look to a modern look.
Hmm.
And yes, it is a side-scrolling game, but that's the gameplay of Wonder Boy. But they made it work on a modern game, and that would be one of my contenders for, you know, top games of the year, although I don't think it came out in 2017. But still, an amazing game done right. You still have that retro, oh god, this is great. It's got that feel of an old retro game, but also modern graphics, modern gameplay. You could still do a side scroller, but with our modern PCs, modern computers, modern hardware, if it's for a console, you can make them work. Program them properly instead of the sometimes iffy programming you would get on a lot of shovelware back in the day.
It just looks like this was something that they actually made back in the early 90s and never got released. And now all of a sudden all these nostalgic games come out, you know, all these throwbacks, and somebody said, hey, let's put it out and let's just charge, you know, a bunch of money for it.
Nice.
That's literally what it looks like.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to talk more on that topic next week, actually. So we're not quite short on time, but getting there. I want to talk about my worst game of 2017, if you don't mind, unless you had more to say.
No.
Okay. I thought you were winding down a bit.
Well, there's not much more you can say about it. It sucks.
This choice, for me, is like my best game of 2017. It's a hard thing to say. Because it's... So, first of all, something I thought I would never choose. And I'm going to say right now, I love the company that makes the game. I love the game it's a part of.
Okay.
But in a lot of ways, they done fucked up. And in that, I mean, Lord of the Rings Online, Mordor.
Okay.
Their new expansion that came out. For worst of the year.
Okay.
And, like I said, I'm an MMO guy that doesn't leave me a whole lot of options to choose. And there's a few reasons for this. First of all, I'm going to start off, you go to their webpage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing that's in your face is the, you know, the nice icon for Lord of the Rings Online, Mordor. Great. It has a nice backdrop. It's very fiery, very Mordor-like, you know, looks like Mount Doom. And, you know, you got a, you know, orc garrison over here. And the artwork, great. It's beautiful. And then it's got the Ultimate Fan Bundle, Collector's Edition, and Standard Edition. Right?
Right.
You scroll down a little bit. And it shows you how little is really in the Standard Edition. You get the Mordor expansion with 300 new quests, hundreds of new deeds, new allegiance system. You know, since we didn't already have, you know, reputation system. New instance cluster with raid, with asterisks by them, because that means they're not actually in the game when you buy it. And more! With more asterisks, because again, not in the game right now. Plus, Aria of the Valar, level boost to Mordor, where you can take one character and boost them up to the starting level for that expansion. Alright. Fairly standard. And the price, fairly standard, $39.99. Got it. That seems reasonable, right?
It's kind of expensive for what you're getting, but
yeah, okay. Yeah, you could think more, and that's one thing that people brought up, because you then look at the collector's edition, which is $79.99. $80, right? You get all the stuff that the standard edition had. What's the next thing that comes up? The High Elf race.
Mm-hmm.
The very first new race since the game launched in 2007. So,
but they already have elves.
Yeah, they have elves, but these are high elves. This is Elrond.
They look identical.
Yeah. And we're going to get more on that in a minute. You also get a new character slot.
Woohoo.
Exclusive Alliance cosmetics. You get exclusive armor, cloak, and a kite.
Yay.
An exclusive title, Walked into Mordor. And an exclusive Alliance mount.
Okay, is it the elk?
No, it's a horse with really cool looking armor.
Then it's not worth it. Because the whole thing with the high elves was that fucking awesome elk mount.
Right.
That was badass. Those if you don't get that, they're screwing you.
Those were like the forest elves with the elk.
So?
So that's... They're different.
It's still cool.
Anyway, so here's the thing. That's $30 for cosmetics and a race.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, some would argue that you should probably gotten a race with the original, with the standard edition. In fact, a lot of people argued that. But then what do they give the collector's edition to make it worth an additional $30? But here's where it gets more. I bought the Ultimate Fan Bundle. Not because I needed this stuff, but because I was supporting Standing Stone Games for such great content that they had given us since they took over the game, you know, running the game when they split off from Turbine, right? Uh-huh. It has everything that the Standard and Collector's Edition has. But it also has, in addition to the exclusive Alliance cosmetics, you have exclusive Mordor cosmetics. Yes, that's part of that whole new allegiance system. You can ally yourself more with the Alliance or more with Mordor.
Okay.
Keep in mind that this is after the ring's been destroyed. This is after... you know, the flamey eye has been destroyed and all that. Great. So, okay. And I usually run around in the Mordor cosmetics because, I'm going to be honest, they look bitchin'. I do not use the exclusive eagle kite because, guys, it's a kite. It's not even a pet running around behind me. It's a kite.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well,
I've got a red balloon.
Yeah. Anyway, so you get the Alliance mount, right? You also get an exclusive Mordor mount, which is a dark horse with dark spiky armor. I ride around on it all the time. It looks great, but it's a horse. Of course, of course. You get two exclusive titles. You not only get Walked into Mordor, you also get the Ultimate. An equipable XP accelerator for all characters. Now this, I will say, truly freaking awesome. Because it allows me to get an additional, I think, 25% experience on most everything. And I have another equipable XP accelerator from an earlier expansion that only goes up to like level 64 that also gives me another 25%. So all in all, with all those things running, I have like a huge amount of extra experience I'm getting for everything I'm doing, which is helpful as I'm trying to level up my characters for my show, failing at LOTRO. Oh, by the way, I haven't announced that yet. We'll be talking about that next week.
Okay.
I'm a moron. Anyway, so exclusive housing teleport for all characters. You know, we already have a teleport to our houses. This is basically just a second Hearthstone back to your house. I'm not sure why it's needed, but okay. Three relics for all characters. Okay. Two essence reclamation scrolls for all characters. Okay. 10 extra shared storage slots. That's useful because that can get pricey. And a code for a month of VIP access. I have a lifetime account. This doesn't help me at all. I tried to give it to my wife. She won't take it because she doesn't want to play LOTRO.
I can understand why.
All this for $130.
And you are bitching about me spending $30 on Path of Fire.
Yeah.
I feel so much more justified.
Go ahead and say it.
I know.
You're welcome to say it.
Don't need to. Because I spent, basically $20 buying mount skins as soon as they came out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But here's the thing. They should have, in little italics down there before the $129.99 price, they should have just said, here's the real reason you'll be paying this. Because you love us. You really love us. This is the expansion cost for the people that are like, oh my God, I'm such a LOTRO fan. I absolutely have to give them money. It's for whales, huge fans, and, well, people that have to have everything.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But that's not the worst of it. There have been broken things. There have been, you know, stuff that didn't work at launch. I mean, the usual stuff, you know, and that's fine. There'll be people complaining about where the hell's the raid? Where's the instance cluster? Where's all this stuff? You know, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? We don't like this. We don't like that. You're going to get complaints.
Uh-huh.
But then they decided to sell some armor. I don't remember if I think it was cosmetic. But they put it on the in-game microtransaction LOTRO store. And when it came out, they announced it. People jumped all over it because I'll tell you, they're like little barracuda on a goat dumped in the river. They will tear that stuff apart. LOTRO people love their cosmetics. They love buying stuff off the store. We're clothes hounds, right?
Yeah.
Then they took it off the store and told everybody, oops, sorry. We know we put it up there for a great price, but we're going to have to take all that stuff back because we put it up for one quarter of the price it was supposed to be. This hasn't ever happened before.
No, if they sell it for that price, they should have to honor it and usually, not take it away.
Usually they do, but this time, nope. Took it away. And let me tell you, the screaming was loud and it hurt them badly. It really did.
It should.
I just kind of shook my head and went, yeah, I get it. The game is now published by Daybreak and they expect a certain amount of return on their investment. But yeah, that's just fucked up, guys. I expected that sort of thing from... No, I wouldn't even have expected that from Turbine because Turbine literally had never done that. When they put something on the store, if they screwed up, it was their fault and they admitted it and they went, okay, there you go. But, wow.
No, see, that's the problem, though, is... In real life, if you tell somebody that this item, this thing, costs X amount of money,
mm-hmm.
and people go to buy it, and then you say, oops, nope, actually it's going to be this much. That's fraud, or it's like a bait and switch tactic. Isn't that like supposed to be illegal?
No.
Even if it's online?
They refunded what they spent. But this is basically... I go and buy a shirt in a store. I purchase it. I walk out of the store with this really nice shirt that I paid $10 for because, oh my God, must have been a special sale. And as I walk out the door, they stop me, take the shirt from me, hand me back my $10 and say, sorry, this is a $40 shirt. If you'd like it, you're going to have to go back and purchase it again for the proper price.
Yeah.
Technically, they gave you your money back, but they didn't do the right thing. Now,
but if you complete the transaction,
it should be final.
It should be final, yes.
Yeah.
I know that in all of their terms of service, everything in the game, everything your characters have, still technically belongs to them.
Right.
I get that. But that's still bullshit.
Yeah.
Now, it's shady practices.
I'm sure they fixed it. I'm sure they probably went, yeah, you know what, we'll make it right. We'll give those people back their thing. They must have done something because I know the complaining has stopped.
They need, as far as I've seen, give them back their money. They need to give them something else.
Yeah, I'm sure they did something to make it right because this is Standing Stone Games and they're good people, right? I expect nothing less of them, but it really was one of those, damn, you're going to be like that moments. It was the first step towards becoming Tryon Worlds. Tryon Worlds used to be a game, I mean, a company that I absolutely trusted 100%. Would have, I'd buy anything they put out. I was on top of it. I subscribed simply because I felt they deserved my $15 a month, even if I wasn't playing. They deserved it. They put out a great game. I'll get back to it when I get back to it. Now, I refuse to subscribe. I only buy expansions if I absolutely want them. Because, yeah, they done fucked up too many times. And so that's why Lord of the Rings Online Mordor has to be my worst of the year.
Hard to agree, or hard not to agree, I mean.
Yeah. And I just ranted about that literally for 16 minutes.
Well, you had something to say.
And it hurts. It really hurts to say that. Again, I'm going to have to say, I was wrong, guys. I was wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have anything else to add?
Not really. I don't know. It just, if you're going to make a game and bring it into the, you know, the modern age, do something more. Anything?
Yeah.
They could have done almost anything, and it would have been better.
Wow. Anywho, nothing to pimp today but our Facebook page. Look for Pixels and Dice. You know the Twitter. And, you know, literally there's links in the description for this show. You can find it there. Next week, hopefully we have a more interesting show for you to finish out the year. Till then, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelis.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.